Okay, great. Well, amen. It's good to be here again this morning. And for those that you were here yesterday to honor and celebrate the life of my Aunt Carol, thank you for being here yesterday. We had a great turnout, just a wonderful service. You just sensed the presence of God in here. And then after the service, the sun came out. So, I mean, you know, God said, I'm just going to shed some light on that. Amen. It was also great to have Pastor Bruce back. Tremendous message. And he's got a memory. Not bad for 60 years old. Amen? Yeah. Him and I are the same age. So, but anyway, it's good to be back. Good to have a lot of my family here. So, I'll try not to get emotional. I used to be a big, tough guy in Tarrytown. Never cried. And after Jesus came into my life, Amen. I cry like a big baby. So, I want to dedicate this message. I knew this was going to happen. You sang some of my favorite songs, and I wanted to get up and play the tambourine, because that's what I do at my church. You know, I said, no, I've got to chill, you know. But I do want to dedicate this message in memory of my Aunt Carol. And also, I'd like to dedicate it to all the moms, all the ladies in the church. It's Mother's Day. And, yeah, amen. You know, you think about this fact that all the people that are around Jesus at the cross, they were mostly women. Only John, none of the other apostles stayed or stuck with Jesus to the end, but John, but there were a lot of ladies around. And who were the first ones at the tomb? Ladies. And who did Jesus appear before when he resurrected? Women. And women have a very important place in the heart of God, in the service of the Lord, in the church of God. And we thank you for that. So I do want to dedicate this message also to all the ladies. But you know, the scriptures that we'll read today and the principles that we'll learn from God's word really applies to men and women and teenagers. Because, you know, life can get really busy. I mean, I live in Ohio now, and like I shared yesterday, God's got a great sense of humor. I mean, he sends a street kid from New York, an ex-Italian Catholic, to redneck hillbilly Ohio. Amen? Now, I'm a Buckeye fan, but I'm a Rangers fan. Amen? And we're going to win tonight. And it's just a slower pace there. I mean, we're in a little town called Germantown is where I pastor, and it's just kind of farm country kind of living, and you know, it's just kind of slower pace and a lot less as far as the homes are real cheap and the cost of living, and it's not as hectic. But New York can get busy. Even here, not just the city. We always think about New York City, because Cincinnati's a city and Dayton's a city, and they're busy and hectic, and but life can get real busy. So busy that you can just kind of get overwhelmed with life, get stressed out, like we're going to read about here. We're going to look at two sisters this morning, Mary and Martha. So if you would, I want you to take your Bibles and turn also to the book of Exodus. We're going to take a look at that as well. I'll find that in a minute. I always get so nervous when I'm preaching, especially outside. Exodus chapter 5, just hold your place there. We'll get there here in a little bit. But Exodus chapter 5, we will get there in the middle of the message. But I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, it should be in your bulletin. And I was thinking about sometimes there's so much activity going on in our life, and sometimes it's because of what we do and how we schedule our life that it also can hide and hinder the presence of God. Busyness kind of dulls our hearts to the sensitivity to the Lord. We kind of forget about who He is and what He does and what He promises. And people often tell me in our church when I counsel them, and I always, the first question I always ask them, I said, how's your devotions? How's your quiet time with God? How's your Bible time, your prayer time with the Lord? And oftentimes I hear, I'm not doing it. Or I just don't have time. I'm just too busy. Can that relate? Say amen. Okay. That's why it's so good to be in church on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. You know, we always think about the weekend. The weekend, we're thinking Saturday, Sunday's the weekend. You got plans for this weekend, Saturday and Sunday? Saturday and Sunday's not the weekend. Friday and Saturday is the weekend. Sunday is the first day of the week. And what a great way to start your week in the house of God and spending a time out with Jesus. Amen? And so as we take a look at the scripture, we're going to understand, and like I said, people often tell me that they're too busy to set aside a consistent time to be alone with the Lord. They have too much to do. Like we're going to see Martha here in our message. But this morning, the message that I have from God's word and from my heart, to all the women especially, because you guys are very busy. Moms, you're real busy. And to the men, is we must take a time out to be with God. It's important that we take a time out to be with the Lord every day. So before we get into the message, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Let's also ask the Lord to be with Brother Tory and his family. And please pray for me, if you would. Thank you. And the Corvetto family, if you would. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and thank you for these who have come this morning on your day to honor you and to sing these praises and worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, thank you for the children that have gone to their classes. I pray that you use their teachers to impart to them and teach the lambs and the little sheep what they need to know about Jesus. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the blessings of God. Lord, thank you for all your promises. I thank you for your mercy, your love, and your forgiveness. And thank you for giving us second chances and third chances when we mess up in life. I pray you bless this message now. Help me, Lord, to be your messenger. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could I get a glass of water, a little bottle of water, whenever? There's no rush. But. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, if you will. We're just going to read a couple scriptures and get into the message. Verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. It's also in your bulletin. The scriptures are there. Now, it came to pass as they went, they meaning the 12 disciples, the 12 of them, and he meaning Jesus. So we got 12 disciples and Jesus. That's 13 men. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Now, it came to pass as they went, the disciples, and that he, Jesus, entered to a certain village, and that would be Bethany. Jesus loved to go to Bethany. Why? Because there was a special family that loved him, and he loved them. And that was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so he entered into this village, Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or distracted or troubled about much serving and came to him. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And now she gets this attitude. You never have an attitude, do you? I know my wife's got an attitude. She don't call me Teddy anymore. It's Theodore or Buster. I'll never forget when we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and I was renting a house, and there was a guy across the street. He was a little weird. He'd come out at night with this big giant snake, you know, and his dog. And one night I gave him a gospel track. And I came home from work one day. Our kids were sleeping, and she didn't look too happy. I said, "What did I do now?" She says, "We need to sit down and talk, Buster. I'm in trouble." Amen. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I was outside, you know, cleaning up the yard, and this Channel 2 news truck just pulled up in front. Lady came out, and she wanted to know how we like living across the street from our neighbor over here, Greg Thomas." She said, "I told the lady, we just moved here from New York, and my husband's in Bible college, and we don't know anything about Mr. Thomas." And my wife asked her, "Did he hit the lottery? Is he famous? You know, what is this? Who is this guy?" She said, No. He's a suspected murderer. We believe that he murdered his wife and buried her somewhere around the subdivision." And my wife said, "Oh, appreciate that. I have to go inside now." Well, she went inside, and by the time I got home, she was steaming. She says, let me tell you something, Buster. And nobody calls me Buster. Now, my mom could call me Buster, my grandmother, my aunts, my wife, but nobody else, Buster. We lived in New York all these years. Never had a problem. Never. And you move me over here, and we leave right across the street from a murderer. I want to go home now, back to New York. She had an attitude, but rightfully so. But don't blame me. I didn't know the guy was a murder suspect, right? Well, we finally moved out of there, and Greg actually, this is how wicked this man was. He was an adopted kid. His adopted mother was very wealthy. And she realized with all the news and how he never showed remorse about the death of his wife and disappearance and how he was with women and drinking. And she told him one day, I'm not going to support you anymore financially. You're on your own. And, you know, you want to live this lifestyle, the rich and famous. You're not getting any more money from me. Well, the next day he came down with a gun and actually shot and killed his mother. And then as he was going out the stairs, going into his car, his sister and aunt were pulling up, and he didn't know they were coming to visit. And he panicked. He didn't know what to say. And he says, hey, I was getting ready to drive to the police station. I think Mom killed herself, but, you know, you guys could call them. I'm going to go. And, well, he didn't realize it, but, you know, if she killed herself, where's the gun? And when they got there, she was lying in a pool of blood. There was no gun. And they called the police. They knew right away it was him. And they put him in jail. And then about 2 weeks later, there's a guy that he works with in the warehouse confessed that he helped him carry a body in a bag and bury it, and that was his wife. He got the death sentence. I gave him a track one day about Jesus. And I don't know if he read it, I don't know if he got saved. But here's a man I know, if he died without Christ, and rightfully so, but he's in hell today. That was our neighbor. You know, things can get you kind of messed up in your attitude and your emotions. Mary right here, she had a problem. I'm sorry, Martha had a problem. She had an attitude. She comes storming out of the kitchen, and she's looking around, and she's asked Jesus really a dumb question. Don't you care? Come on, you know Jesus cares. Amen? Don't you care that I'm in here serving by myself? Me? The focus was on her. Me? She was feeling sorry for herself. And then take a look at this. And so she came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? And then she's going to tell him what he needs to do. Like my wife tries to do. Amen? In the car. See, we all have a GPS. Amen? I've had a GPR for years. Amen? Voice trying to tell me how to drive. That's her initials, by the way, GPR. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so she's got this attitude now. She's been in there getting him a meal prepared. And back in those days, they had to go to the well. They had to draw the water. They had to get all the different foods and make it from scratch. It wasn't like today. There was no instant potatoes, no microwave. They couldn't cater, nothing. It was a lot of work. And you're talking about 16 people. You had Jesus and the disciples. That was 13. You had Lazarus, Martha, Mary. That's 16 people that she had to prepare for. So she had a little attitude. And so I see here when we don't take time to be with Jesus, and you take a look at Mary and Martha, I think you're going to see the difference in their focus. Martha's focus was on herself. Woe is me. Now let's continue here. So Martha was cumbered about by much serving, and she came to him, came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And then she tells him what he needs to do. We don't tell God what he needs to do. Amen. He tells us what we need to do. So she's got this attitude. Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, and I could just see his face kind of smiling, looking at her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're worried, you're stressed out, you're a mess. and you're troubled about many things. I could just picture her hair was all messed up, makeup running, maybe, you know, I don't know, just a mess, eyes all just on fire, spoon in her hand, dripping down on the floor. Tell her to come in here and help me. Ain't going to scare Jesus, amen? Look at verse 42. Jesus, the way he responds to her. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So this morning, we're going to take a look at three differences in Mary and Martha. And my prayer is as we study this scripture, and I'll share from my heart some things in my life, but we're mainly going to focus on God's word. I pray that when we're done today, that you will take a time out to be with God every day. Amen? First thing we see here is the difference in their focus. That focus is what concerned them, or what or who was the center of their life. With Martha, her focus was serving and working, and she was busy preparing this big meal for this crowd. And with Martha, she was too busy to be blessed by Jesus. The Bible says she received him into her house, so she welcomed Jesus into their home. And then, I'm assuming, right after that, she went right into the kitchen to prepare the meal, completely neglecting and forgetting about Jesus because she had work to do. Sound familiar? And so we find here that she was too busy to be blessed. And serving is not a bad thing. I mean, we need to serve. Your assistant pastor yesterday was serving. He was working, and even after, I really felt bad, even this morning, under conviction that I didn't take my jacket off and take my towel off and help him break down and help him out with the fellowship hall, because I like to serve. I mean, we're all called to serve and to help, and I kind of felt bad about that, not helping him. And he did a lot of work. You need to pray for him. Amen? It's not easy being a pastor, associate pastor. But serving's not a bad thing, and with her, it wasn't a bad thing. The problem was, if you take a look at it, it was the much serving. And verse 40 says, but Martha was cumbered, or she was troubled or distracted about much serving. She was doing too much for one lady. She was overworked. And so that caused her to get an attitude. And it caused her to kind of neglect Jesus and about why he was there. Never said when Jesus came to the house, Martha, I'm hungry. I need something to eat right away. My blood sugar's dropping. Amen? He didn't say that. That wasn't his focus. But her focus was to get in the kitchen and prepare the meal, and I got a lot of stuff to do. And so we see the much serving, and Martha receives him into their home. And mind you, this is the Son of God. This is the Savior. I mean, so the Son of God is in her home, and now she's too busy to hear what he's got to say. Notice Mary. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I can just picture Mary, and they knew they were coming, and they're in the kitchen preparing, and all of a sudden, Jesus is here. Okay? I'm taking my apron off because I'm taking a time out from preparing the food. We got a lot to do, but Jesus is here. I don't hear them talking anymore. The men are not kind of fellowshipping about whatever. It's getting awful quiet in there. And I'm just hearing Jesus' voice. I need to be in there. Amen? So now where do you find her? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking up at the Son of God. Her focus is on him. The center of her life is there. Not on the food. Not on the work, not on her sister or her brother. It's time for Mary to take a time out to be with Jesus. And that was her focus. And that's what we need. We need a time out. And I don't know when you do your devotions or if you don't do them, but I'm going to encourage you, either do them first thing in the morning or maybe after supper. There needs to be a time where you spend at least 15 minutes or 20 minutes in your devotions, in your Bible, with the Lord, to focus on him. On the back table, baby. On the back table, they have a great devotional called Our Daily Bread. It's a 3-month devotional, every day, 7 days a week. It's all done for you. And in fact, you can get this online, you can get it sent right to email, you can have it on your app like me, and I mean, you don't have to miss a day to take it a time out to be with God. It's your choice. Our life gets too busy, and Jesus gets crowded out because we're too busy to spend time with Him. It makes so much of a difference in your life when you do it on a daily basis. Yesterday, I was so blessed to hear some of the comments and how they said they sensed the presence of God here. And they said, you know, when I left this celebration service, I feel different than I came. I sensed this peace, and I was encouraged, I was blessed, I was edified. That's what a time out with God does. And you can have the same in your home, especially on Sunday. I do want to encourage you also to take a time out on Sunday morning, if you can, to get involved in Sunday school. From 9:30, you got a great teacher. I was sitting in his class this morning, and I couldn't help but jump. I wanted to teach the class in the worst way. I mean, I love to teach, you know, preach. And I was holding back. I said, shut up for one time. Amen? But he was doing such an awesome job. And I was so encouraged by the teaching you have here. You've got great Bible teachers and elders in the church. Take advantage of it. They're right here. Take advantage of it. I mean, it's a day for you to take a time out from the busyness of life and from work and everything else and come to church and spend time with God and listening to His Word. Like Mary. Like Mary. She was the smart one. Amen? So she's sitting at His feet. Mom, are you taking a time out to be with the Lord? Because your life really gets super busy. Super busy. Especially single moms. Extremely busy and hectic. It's very important. Are you listening? Are you focused? Mary is focused on Jesus and His Word, and she chose the better part. In fact, John chapter 4, verse 23, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Mary is found at the feet of Jesus worshiping Him. In John chapter 11, and John chapter 12, Mary is a worshiper. Her focus when Jesus was in the house, when He began to speak, was to be on His feet and worship Him and listening to Him and focus on Him. Martha, on the other hand, was not really a worshiper at heart here. She was a worker. She wanted to work. She had much to do. So her focus wasn't on Jesus. Her focus was on work. And that caused a difference. Look, there's nothing wrong with being a worker, but you need to have a balance. Sometimes in ministry, we get out of balance with work instead of worship. I remember one time, several years ago, I'm an avid hunter. I love to deer hunt, and I love to fish on my days off. And I remember this big deer was on my game camera. I went, whoa, wow. And so I got really focused on that deer. That was my priority in my life, was to harvest this deer. And I remember I began neglecting myself physically. I mean, you know, you got to have a day off. You got to have rest. But I began at 4 in the morning, and you know, when I'm off and getting in the woods and then coming back and then going back in and just nonstop. And before you know it, instead of having my quiet time with God, when I would try to fit Him into my schedule, my deer hunting schedule. I'll fit you into my, I'll make it convenient for me. No. Because after a while, I got really sick. I got bronchitis. Then after the bronchitis, I got pneumonia. Then I got bronchitis again, and I got pneumonia. And for 9 months, I was sick and weak, and all because I took my focus off of Jesus. I messed up my priorities. And I had an attitude. I wonder why. You mean pastors can do that? You betcha. We're not perfect. Your preacher's not perfect. That's why you got to pray for him. But he's a man of God. You got to pray for it. So we find Mary, you find her at the feet of Jesus, and she's a worshiper, and it's very important. One of my favorite verses is found in Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop what you're doing. Shut everything off. Shut it down. focus on the Lord and know that he is God. For Martha, she didn't do that. She wasn't still. She was too active. She was cumbered about. She was so distracted, so stressed out by much serving that she wasn't taking the time out to be with Jesus. Can I have an amen on that? Say amen. Second thing we see, not only a difference in their focus, but a difference in their fellowship. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's getting close to him. Martha's in another part of the house, far away from him. There's a distance problem. Jesus is there. He hasn't moved. He's there teaching. Mary moved. She went from where she was to be at the feet of Jesus to get close to him. God doesn't move. He's waiting for you and I to get close to him. Amen? It's our responsibility to get close to him. But Martha stayed over there. There was a distance till she came in there. She still had a problem with her attitude. And so we see the fellowship. You ever heard that expression, a backslidden Christian or a lukewarm Christian? Well, that's because people sometimes distance themselves from God, from church, from the Bible, and before you know it, they get cold and they're out of fellowship with God, they're out of fellowship with church, and they have distanced themselves. God's still waiting. He's just a prayer away. And thank God he is. Amen. I knew when I was growing up, I mean, I wasn't the nicest kid growing up. I really was a rough kind of guy. I mean, you name it, I was involved in it. And I sometimes take a look at God and say, you sure you didn't make a mistake by picking me to be a pastor? And that's the grace and mercy of God. Because he could use anybody, anywhere for his glory and honor. No matter what you've done, he will forgive you. I can attest to that. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. And so in their fellowship, we see Mary's getting close, get as close as possible. And she didn't want to miss a word. And what Jesus was saying and what he was sharing, Mary didn't want to miss it. Now, we're as close to the Lord as we want to be. And this morning, I spent some time in prayer and had my own devotions. I've been John, and I tried to get closer to the Lord because I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. Because without you, I am nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, Lord, as I come close to you today and I worship you and I'm asking you to help me to be your messenger boy today, your bread boy, help me and strengthen me to do all I can for your glory. You get close to him when you talk to him, when you praise him, when you worship him, when you open his word, he's talking to you. You get close to him. And so we find here about this fellowship and, you know, receiving the Lord Jesus into our hearts and our lives. We welcome him. We invite him in. And then we get so busy with other things and life crowds him out and our attention is drawn away from him and it gets focused on other things. And if we don't be careful, it gets going every day. You know, we do have an enemy. We do have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's a fallen angel from heaven. His name is Lucifer, angel of light, powerful, prideful, wanted to take over the throne of God, and God cast him out. The sad part is he didn't go alone. The Bible says he took one-third of the angels with him. They're now fallen angels. They're demon spirits. There is a spiritual realm out there. There is. Sometimes I think we just don't think there is, but there is. We have an enemy, and Satan, although he's an angel, he can only be in one place at one time. He uses the things of this world, that's your second enemy, to get to your third enemy, and that's your flesh, to tear you away from God, to distract you, to deceive you, to depress you, and really to destroy you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he is like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling. He uses all those addictions to devour you, to take your body away, your strength away, your health away, your family away, your finances away, everything that he can. He wants to strip you of what God's blessed you with and make you feel like nothing. His ultimate is to have you join him in hell if you're not saved. But God didn't prepare that place for you. He prepared a place in heaven for you if you come to Christ. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. So we know we have an enemy. I want you to turn now to Exodus chapter 5. I just want to take a look at this portion of scripture that we find that Moses and the children of Israel had to deal with. And I think we can kind of relate this to our story this morning. Moses was sent by God to be the mediator. He was the spokesman. He was the type of Christ, deliverer to take the children of Israel out of bondage. They were slaves to Pharaoh. If you really look at it, you see, like, Egypt is a type of the world, and Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Moses is a type of Christ. We find here in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, let my people go." What did God want? What did God desire? He wanted them to take a break from their work and take a time out to be with him for 3 days. Amen? This is God's idea of taking a time out. He says, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God to worship him." That's what they're saying. "Lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Look at verse number 4 and 5. "And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And sometimes works and too much work can be a burden. And my Jesus is a burden bearer. And then it says in verse 5, "And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens." That's what a time out from what you're doing each day. It's a rest from your burdens, because life can get real burdensome. "And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." And then verse number 8. "And the tail of the bricks which they did make, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God." And look at verse number 9. What does Pharaoh do to keep them away from getting a time out to be with God, to worship him? Look what he does. "Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." Put more work on them, so they can't ever go out there and be with their God and listen to these empty words from Moses, from this God that I don't even know of, because Pharaoh thought he was God. And so he wasn't going to accept anything Moses had to say, and he certainly didn't want the Jewish people, the children of Israel, who were her slaves, to go out for 3 days, a 3 days journey, and worship God. He put more work on them. What did Martha do to her own self? No one gave her this assignment. Nobody pushed her with this much serving, much work. She took it on herself. Amen? In some cases, we get overworked. And a little bit, I think, sometimes carried away, because I know I do too. We can get overworked and just kind of burnt out because we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to take a time out. We don't know how to take a break. You know, when I go on vacation, we love going to the beach. I mean, I'm just love it. I mean, we like to go to Naples, Florida. That's where we like to go. It's just beautiful there. And it's a place of restoration for the soul. It's so peaceful. I love the waves. I love the body surf. I love to look for shark's teeth. I like to read. I just like the beach. And if you really study the scriptures, Jesus did a lot with his disciples on the shore. He likes the beach too. Amen? In fact, last year, it was funny how the Lord kind of had all the places where I was coming out of the water, and there was a lady coming towards me, and we were talking. I said, "Wasn't it a beautiful day?" She says, "Yeah." She said, "Just gorgeous out." And I'm looking at her. She's looking at me, and I said, "Boy, I know you from somewhere. I know you from someplace." I says, "You know, what's your name?" And so she said, "Well, I used to be Susan McIntosh, but I'm now Susan Gleason." I said, "Sue." I said, "You remember me?" She says, "Now who are you?" I told her my name. She says, "Oh." I says, "We dated for about 4 hours." Amen. I held your hand. I kissed you on the cheek. I said, we were boyfriend and girlfriend at some graduation party there in 1973. You remember that? Yeah. Good thing. Amen. My wife's sitting there saying, all right, what's the deal here? You know, what's going on? And so we were talking, having a good time, and then she shared her heart with me how she's grieving the loss of her son in a car accident. And boy, I'll tell you, it really broke my heart. She wept, and we talked, and we ministered. My wife and I prayed with her, ministered to her, and she was just kind of really lost. So I said, Sue, I need to meet you here tomorrow. I said, we need to meet right here at the same place at this beach because this is where we come. She said, well, yeah, we're here for a couple more days. I said, I want to give you a movie that's going to help you called Courageous. How many seen the movie Courageous? Shroosh. We just previewed a new movie called War Room. Wow. Same guys made it, the Hendrick Brothers. Phenomenal. So I said, look, I want to give you a copy of this movie. I also want to give you a copy of my book. I published a book out about a year ago. In fact, there's a copy at the Warner Library. I give Brother Tori a copy. It's called At the Crossroads of Life. It's about kind of my life and how the Lord changed my life and how to get direction. And I said, I want to give you a copy of my book. I think it's going to help you because it deals with death. And in the book, I shared probably one of the darkest times of my life, how I felt I was now getting away from God. We were praying for this one lady in our church to be healed, and I believe God heals. I believe in healing. We anoint with oil. But God will heal according to his mercy and grace. Because Paul went and asked three times to be healed, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. You'll be perfect, and you'll be strong in your weakness. And so sometimes God will not heal. He actually uses death to heal you to bring you to heaven. Amen? I mean, death is not a bad thing for the Christian. In fact, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen? And I remember there was a middle-aged lady who had cancer of the liver, and we were praying for, you know, a liver surgery, but it was too far gone. We were praying that God would do a miracle, you know, but it didn't happen. She passed away, and that was kind of a heartbreaking thing. But we knew she went to be with the Lord, but we were praying for God for a miracle. That was on a Wednesday. Thursday morning, I get a call about 7:30 in the morning, and it was my brother-in-law, Dean, just panicking, just really, I could tell something was really wrong. And he said, I need to talk to Gail. All right, so I gave my wife the phone, and boy, she started crying and screaming. And I said, what's the matter? She says, my mother died. I said, what? Mom? Yeah, my mom. What? She never woke up. She died. And if you probably know my mother-in-law, she used to work down there at Bella's. Her name was Piedette Cloutier. And I'm telling you, we were supposed to go to New York the week after the visit, and I was supposed to preach up in Thornwood, and I'll tell you, that really, really rocked us. I mean, I begin to question God now. But the next day, I'm preparing now two messages, two funerals, one for Catherine and one for my mother-in-law, because I was going to fly up here to help. And then the next day, I get a phone call, and this lady in my church, she's in panic. I mean, she is just really panicking. She's screaming and yelling. She says, Pastor, you need to come to our house. You need to come to our house. And I said, what's the matter? She says, it's Willie. It's Joanne's husband. I said, what's the matter? Oh, he shot himself. He's dead behind the barn. You need to come here. That was it. I mean, we had someone pass away Wednesday, my mother-in-law in her sleep. That was bad enough. But suicide? How do I deal with this? I never talked to anybody about committing suicide. How do I talk to these people? I didn't learn anything in Bible college about somebody taking their life and dealing with people. How do I do this? And God, I'm tired of all these people dying around me. I'm blaming you for it because you're the one in control. So I started pulling away from the Lord. I started getting real bitter from God to God. And I'm sure some of us might experience them. Blame God for everything. And he's not the one to blame. He's the one to praise, even when you're going through bad times. Well, I went there, and when I went there, I ministered to the family and helped them out, and then I started praying at the altar and asked God to be with me, give me strength, and he did touch me, he did raise me up, and God will answer your prayer. God will restore your joy, because the devil's out to take the joy of the Lord away from you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. I used to be a big drinker, big on drugs. I don't need drugs or alcohol to feel high anymore to be happy. I don't need a happy hour. Amen. I don't need that. I get filled with the Spirit of God, and I get drunk in the Spirit. I get a little crazy. Amen. I mean, some people thought I lost my mind when I got saved because I was just a little too much. But, you know, I was like a Rocky, you know, when I got saved. Like, oh, yo, Adrian, oh, yo, get saved, oh, you. I mean, that New York just came out of me. Even though I'm in Ohio, I'm still a New Yorker by heart. Amen? I go down to Florida. I shared this yesterday with my pastor from Jacksonville. He says, yeah, when you go down there, make sure you go to this restaurant and order some hush puppies. And I told my wife, I got home, this guy's out of his mind. Hush puppies. Said, those are shoes. I ain't eating no shoes. They fry shoes up there? Was he nuts? When I went down there, we were in a restaurant, one of my college buddies, he ordered hush puppies. Said, I can't wait to see what he's going to do with those things. And then they came, the little round thing. He says, you want one? I said, not really. He said, no, I'll try it. They're good. Man, they're good, man. I'm telling you. It's like grits. I'm a New York Italian. What are you going to put on grits? I'm going to put garlic on my grits. That's what I'm going to put. I mean, that's the way I eat it. I'm not a southern boy. I wasn't raised like that. I'm raised with olive oil, garlic, broccoli, and squishing tomatoes. Amen? But when you feel out of place, you don't need to feel out of place with God. Because no matter where you are, you could take a time out to be with Jesus. Well, let's look at the last one as we finish. Turn back to Luke chapter 10. You having a good time this morning? Say amen. Me too. I appreciate Pastor Tori and the men of the church for giving me this privilege, this honor to be here and share the word of God with you, my family here, and just and my friends. And one of my special friends from high school, Denise, is here. I think Fuzzy came up last night and says, just want to let you know, Denise wants to decide. So why are you telling her I'm going to be here? Well, she's here today. Amen. All right. All right. Now, Denise can tell you some stories, amen? She probably said, I don't believe what I'm seeing or I'm hearing, not from this guy. But Denise, you ain't saying nothing, amen? Not a word, not a word. Let them know me like this. I had one of my high school buddies come to church one time, and he was coming back from wherever, going back to Indiana. He says, well, I want to see you. I want to come to church Sunday, me and my wife. I said, that's great. And he stayed at our missions apartment, And right before the offering, he says, do you mind if I come up and say something? Now, normally I want to know what they're going to say. You know, I said, you're here. I said, sure, go ahead, share something. So he gets up from the pulpit and he says, well, I just want to let you know that God scooped down to the bottom of the barrel to get this guy. Whoa, did I make a mistake? Amen. I could tell you stories and you won't believe it. Kevin, shut up and sit down. Amen. And Buddy ended good. He said, you're gifted. You got a good one. If he knows anything about the street life, you can't get anything over on him because he's done that, been there, and done it again. Amen. But he embarrassed me like no tomorrow. Oh. Then I had this one guy that I worked out at the YMCA, this older Jewish guy. He comes and right in the middle of our Bible study and prayer life, prayer service, he says, I need to get up and give a testimony. I went, oh, brother. He says, I just want to let you know I appreciate the Bible study and I appreciate everything that's going on. He says, I want to let you know I know what your pastor looks like with shorts and a tank top on because I see him every week. He doesn't look like this at the YMCA, but he's a good man. He sat down and said, what was that all about? How did that go with the lesson? It didn't. Some people just like to, amen? So from now on, when people say, can I share something? Tell me first. Write it down. I want to see the script. Amen? And if you go off of that, we're going to have trouble. Amen. But God's good. So we see a difference with Martha and Mary and their focus. We see a difference in their fellowship. But we see finally the difference in their feelings, how they were feeling. How are you feeling this morning? God loves a cheerful giver, and we're having a good time. There's nothing wrong with having a good time in church. As long as it glorifies God, it's not in the flesh, there's nothing wrong with it. Because when you leave here, you should feel like you've been touched and uplifted, and you feel like, you know what, it was worth going to church today. I've been in churches where I couldn't wait to leave. I've been in churches where I left in the middle of the service. I've been in a church one time where this guy was just preaching off the wall, and I left, and some of his guards, a big-time evangelist, some of his guards met me outside, kind of grabbed my arm and said, "Yo, dude, I may be a pastor, but don't be doing that, because we can get it on." Amen. I like to fight, but don't be pushing me like that. You don't know who you're messing with. Amen. I was a weightlifter. I still, you know. So he says, "Yo, where are you going? Why'd you leave?" I said, "I'm not listening to that. My teen group wanted to leave." I said, "This guy's preaching garbage. What are you doing? No one's ever left in the middle of a service." "Well, I am." I said, "My teen group wanted to leave. We're out of here. I'm not saying I'm more spiritual than you, but my kids don't need to hear that." He says, "Well, he may want to talk to you at the end of the service." I said, "Good. Well, here's my number. Have him give me a call." And sure enough, man, half hour later after the service, this big time world renowned evangelist calls me up. He says, "Hey, I heard you cause a scene. I need to talk to you." I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in my big RV out in front of the auditorium." I said, "I'll be right there." I pull up on my, I wish I had, the first car I owned here in Tarrytown was a 1970 SS350 Camaro. You know what? I drive in Ohio, but I still like to drive like a New Yorker. Amen? I love it. So I pull up to this RV and knock on the door, and this guy comes to the door, you know, and he says, "Who are you?" I says, "I'm Ted." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, get in here." I didn't like the way he was talking to me already. He says, "Take a seat." I said, "Yeah." He says, "What's your problem? What's up with you?" I said, "I was going to ask you the same thing." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know who I am?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know who I am?" He says, "No." I said, "Good, let's keep it that way. Amen." He said, "What's your problem?" I said, "Do you realize what you were saying in there?" And I kind of shared it word for word. He says, "Yeah, that was kind of off, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it was off." I said, "It bothered my teenagers." I says, "You know, some of the girls didn't like that." I said, "You're preaching to a mixed crowd. You offended some of the girls here." "Yeah, that was kind of off color." I said, "Yeah, it was." I said, "You know," and I took a tape because I had a cassette tape of him preaching a revival in Tennessee. And man, he was on fire. Buddy, he preached the word of God. And man, God was moving. I said, "This is the Jamie I came to see." And I showed him the tape. He says, "Oh, yeah, that's God really moved then." I said, "I get a feeling this is when you were closer to God than you are right now." He looked at me, a tear came down his eye. He said, "You're right." He said, "I am so far away from God, I'm just going through the motions." He said, "I've been so overworked and traveling." He says, "I haven't spent time alone with the Lord in several weeks." I said, "Jamie, I could tell by your preaching something wasn't right." He said, "You got my teens, especially my girls, upset by what you weren't even preaching the word. You were entertaining them, and you got a little vulgar." He says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "No one's ever spoke to me like you're speaking." I said, "I love you." I said, "I'm here to share my heart with you." He says, "Yeah." He says, "I need to take a break and spend more time with God. Because what's ever in your heart will come out of here. Because out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so the last thing I want to share with you, the difference in their feelings at the end. All right, go ahead. Thank you. They know me as Teddy Boy, so you guys can't be pulling that one, am I? Thank you. That's okay. What time are we supposed to be finishing anyway? Anybody know what time we finish? Elder, what time do we normally finish? Getting close? Amen. All right, good. As long as I'm not there, I'll just, okay. I remember the first time when I started as a pastor of our church, I mean, the people were so hungry. I preached for 2 hours, and man, they love it. But I won't do that here, amen? Just an hour and a half. No. Let's look at their feelings. I mean, it will really affect your heart, your spirit, your soul, and your attitude when you spend time with God. I mean, when Moses came down from that mountain after spending time out with God, his face was glowing. And man, they were looking at him and he had to cover it up because he was on fire for the Lord. Amen? When these fishermen who were called to be followers of Jesus, these disciples, I mean, they were spending time with Jesus. They were unlearned men. And the people took notice of them that they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because they had this radiance. They were so shining for the Lord. They were spending time with God. Martha was getting dark in her attitude. Mary was fired up. You notice Mary never even responded to Martha? You're going to see who's going to respond to Martha here in a minute. Difference in their feelings. Mary was cumbered about. Martha was cumbered about. Let's look at 40 and 41. But Martha was cumbered about. I'm reading from the King James. I'm kind of old-fashioned. I know you have the NIV, but it's an easier translation. But she was distracted. She was troubled because of much serving, much work. And so she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, does that not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me." And Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're worried. You're stressed out. You're a mess and troubled about by many things." You're involved in too many things. We get involved in too many things. Go, 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 go. Amen? But look what he says in verse 42. Mary didn't have to even open her mouth. She was right where she needed to be. And when you're right where you need to be, God will protect you and stick up for you. Amen? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's probably sitting there looking at Martha saying, here she goes again. No, that's not what she said. She just sat there. She probably said, "Oh, poor Martha, here she goes." But she's saying it to herself probably. But Jesus is the one that responds to her. Jesus is the one that corrects her in love. Amen? "Martha, Martha, you're really cumbered about by much serving." And then he defends Mary. And so we see here Martha was distracted. She was upset. She was anxious. She was worried. She had the Prince of Peace in her house, but she herself had no peace. Amen? Look, I'm not about religion. I hope you know that. There's a lot of religions in the world. I'm telling you, you're looking at somebody who was a maniac, come from a troubled life, broken family, messed up life like you can't believe. You name it, I did it. Almost died 3 times. Was involved in the worst kind of stuff. I should be doing 30 years to life. And where does God have me go? Once a month in a maximum teenage jail, speaking to kids that have done things that I know I used to do, but I never got caught. And I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and he claimed that he is the only way to get to heaven. I'm telling you, you're looking at proof that he is who he is. Amen? Nobody else could change your life and supply the needs in your life like him. And Martha was neglecting to be with him. Martha was kind of forgetting that he was in the house. And Martha was so busy and focused on the work that she forgot about Jesus. But not Mary. Because the one thing that Mary knew was the most important thing of that day. The one thing was to take a time out to be with Jesus. The feelings. I mean, Martha was, she wasn't feeling too good. But Martha was feeling peace. Well, how do you know that? It doesn't say that. Yeah, it does. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Mary's mind was stayed on Jesus. That was her focus. Fellowship. I'm right at the feet of Jesus. I'm getting close. How was she feeling? Very peaceful. You know, people go all over the place, spend all kinds of money to get this peace of God, or this tranquility or serenity. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. You can't have peace without Jesus. As I close, I just want to share with you about Mary and Martha again. And I think about even myself sometimes when I get overworked and I'm very tired, a lack of sleep, especially during the hunting season. You know, I could be really whacked out when it comes to that. And really, I did a study, and it's very unhealthy to your body and mind to get not the proper sleep. The study shows that when people get less than 6 or 7 hours of sleep each night, their risk for developing diseases increase. This is a known fact. And the way we live now, checking our phones every minute, I got a girl in my church, I swear, I think she goes to bed with that thing. I mean, it doesn't come out of her hand. Amen. I mean, I like cell phones, but man, some people are so obsessed with those things because everything is on there. I'm talking to somebody in here. Amen. I mean, you think about that. I mean, the way we live now, we're checking our phones every minute. We're overscheduling our days or our kids' days. We're not taking time to relax without a screen in front of our faces. I mean, whether it's a TV, an iPod, or whatever it is, or, you know, a tablet or a phone or whatever it is, there's a screen always in front of us. Amen? My wife sometimes would get on me, "You're on that computer again." I mean, I do spend a lot of time in the past on a computer. Being on Facebook now, amen? How many are on Facebook? Me too, so you can friend me, amen? But I use it for the Lord. I use it for the Lord. I don't play Candy Crush. I got into that, and that became a distraction. Amen. I mean, I was taking too much time with Candy Crush, and it was crushing me. I'll tell you that right now. By the time I got done playing, it was giving me an attitude. I mean, I was frustrated. It's like golf. I don't play golf. I hit a ball. It goes in the water. What kind of fun is that? Amen. I'm not going in there to get the ball. I don't want to use another one. It costs too much money. I like to go fishing, and I like to go hunting. Well, you guys may like golf, and that's okay, because you live in New York and Tarrytown, that's cool. You may not lose. You're all upscale. You're not a redneck hillbilly like me, amen? Hey, last year, I did my first camo wedding. It was like a Duck Dynasty show in my church. Everybody was in camo. It was the coolest thing. And I had this camo on, you know, and I was awesome. Man, I could have had some iced tea or something, sweet tea, and I don't know, hush puppies there, I don't know, whatever. It was just the coolest thing, a camo wedding. It was neat. But anyway, we got three sons. Jason and Rachel are in Virginia, and we're expecting our first grandson, I'm hoping, but grandchild in September. Sean and Amanda he's our middle one, and they've been married 5 years. And Justin, our youngest, he's moving out in 2 weeks. Yay! Hey. Well, he's 45. You got to move out. Amen. He's 30. I used to tell all my boys, stay home, save your money, buy a house. Why rent? Amen. I mean, that's just, I mean, you know, I'm into the financial thing. You know, I think you need, and they all did that. In Ohio, you can get a house cheap. I mean, really cheap. And so he's moving out. He's going to get married next year. And it's going to be empty nesters, you know. So we're going to have fun. Amen. We're going to have fun. I don't even know why I even went there, but it's there, so just take it. That's extra. Amen. So anyway, I think about the lack of sleep and what it does for the body and mind, and I don't know if Martha had a rough night before and also not being with Jesus. There's a lot of things that can contribute to us not being the nicest Christians that we need to be. Jude 22 says, some having compassion, making a difference. Well, my Aunt Carol, she made a difference in a lot of lives. She spent time with Jesus, and you could tell. It will make a difference in your life. So as I close, I think about this and I did a study and I read about how if we continue to look at all these things with the screens and all the things that we expose our brains to and our bodies to, the screen in front of our faces, it actually contributes to a regular flow of stress hormones in your body. There's a special stress hormone that is actually activated and magnified in your body when you spend too much time exposed to any kind of screen. Because your body wasn't made by God to be in front of a screen. Amen? And here's another thing I want to share with you. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the mark of the beast. In October, nowhere in the United States are you going to have credit card readers anymore. They're doing away with credit card readers. It says, what are they doing? They're going to go to chip readers. Chips. In Europe, it's chips, microchips. Here's a church check that we got for our missions. What do you see in the church check? There's a hologram. What's inside that hologram? There's a chip in there. Why do they need to put chips on all the credit cards, all your debit cards, all the credit card machines? And why now on our checks do we have microchips inside these holograms? Because I believe with all my heart, Book of Revelation has come to pass. Nobody be able to buy or sell unless you receive a mark in your hand or a mark in your head. I'm telling you, we're in the end times. That's why you need to take a time out with God. Amen? The stuff you see going on in the world today, it's all Bible prophecy. It's supposed to get worse. It's supposed to get darker. And we're supposed to so shine and let people know that we're Christians. Speak up, stand up, preach up for the Lord. So I see here that taking a time out with the Lord, we can enjoy resting in His presence. Martha, she was working, she was worrying. Mary was listening and she was learning. Martha was away from Jesus, Mary at the feet of Jesus. Martha was cumbered by many, and Mary was comforted. Martha was corrected by Jesus, and Mary was commended by Jesus and enjoying His perfect peace. Life gets out of balance. And Jesus told Martha, one thing is needful, and that's taking the time out to be with Me. And all He is just a prayer away. August of 1980, it was in my aunt's farmhouse in Pennsylvania, Aunt Helen, and my Uncle Joe. In the summers, my dad used to let them take us for the summers. Me and my sister used to go there a lot. He wouldn't trust us with our mom because she had a drinking problem. And so he said, I would rather you be with Aunt Helen, Uncle Joe. They don't have any children, and being off in the summer, that's where you need to be, and they both worked. It was there in the summer of 1980 in an in-home Bible study in a small group, but it was about 25 people there. But they played some songs on the guitar. They sang about Jesus. And then they shared a message about all of us are sinners. Boy, was I a sinner. You didn't have to tell me that. Amen? I know I've sinned big time. All of us are sinners. Amen? Ten Commandments. Anybody here ever tell a lie? Anybody here ever take anything that didn't belong to you? Anybody here disobey mom and dad? Anybody here ever use God's name in vain? Well, there's 4 out of 10. We're lawbreakers. We're guilty. We're sinners before God. That sin has separated us from God. And there's only one way that we can be reconciled back to the Lord, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all our sin. Well, I heard that message, and I realized that I was on my way to hell if I died on my way home. You know, the FBI death clock says every 30 minutes one person dies by a drunk driver. Right down the street from her house this morning at 7:30, there was a crash. I don't know if the guy fell asleep. He was texting, but he went from the right side of the road. He went up on two cars, smashed them, and he was a mess. They were a mess at 7:30. I don't know if the guy was drunk. I don't know what the deal is. But every 30 minutes, two people an hour die in the United States by a drunk driver. Think about that. So as I was confronted with the fact that, yes, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from God. I know I don't deserve heaven. I can't do anything to get myself there. But then when the man said, but Jesus did do something to get us there. He suffered and gave His life on the cross. He shed His blood and He was buried. And praise God, Easter Sunday, my Jesus was raised again. And so now I've got to put my faith, not in anything I could do or even a religion, I got to put my faith and get a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knowing that He died for me, He shed His blood, and He rose again. He's coming back, and I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And I did that in that summer night. And I've never been the same. The drinking stopped, the drugs stopped, the gambling stopped, the wicked living stopped, running with the boys stopped. And I'm telling you, I'm walking with God. I love it. I love staying close to God. God bless me. What a wonderful wife. Great children. Now a grandchild. And then He's given me a servant's heart to preach the word. Who am I? I don't deserve this. I mean, if you knew me back then, you knew where I should be. Don't you say nothing, Denise, or my cousins. But I'm telling you, Jesus is real. And if you're a Christian today, and if life's been so busy, you need to take a time out with Him. Make sure you grab one of those daily breads and start tomorrow, start tonight. But if you're here this morning, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'm going to share with you what I shared yesterday at my aunt's celebration service. Did I know? He loved. I'm going to give you a chance that I had back in 1980 to pray and ask Jesus in your life to be born again, to be saved, to be cleansed and forgiven. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I want you to search your heart. Maybe this morning you feel kind of distance from the Lord, kind of distracted from Him. Maybe today the Lord did speak to you that you need to maybe change your lifestyle and get your schedule where God's the priority, and you need to take a time out to be with Jesus. Maybe there's a lack of peace in your life. There's something missing. No, it's not something, it's someone. It's a relationship with the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. And the Bible says, if you call upon the Lord and you ask Him to come into your life, that He'll answer that prayer, He will receive you, and He'll forgive you. And the prayer goes like this. And I'm going to pray it very slow for you to pray to yourself and to the Lord. You pray, Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Lord, I come to You now, and I ask You to forgive me for all of my sins. I do believe in my heart that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered, shed His precious blood, and died on the cross for me. I also believe in my heart and confess with my lips that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my life, and I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior and my only way to heaven. I want to thank You for saving my soul. In Your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I won't embarrass you. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you just put your hand up so I can see it, put it right back down? Thank you. Wow, so many. All right, praise the Lord. Make sure you tell somebody, like the pastor here, make sure you ask for some helps to grow and take the next step. It's so important that you now grow and walk with God. And Pastor Tori is the man who needs to help you. Please do that. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.